Okay, next item, please.
Item 47, authorize City Auditor Independent Police Review Division to directly question Portland Police Bureau employees, change Police Review Board public reporting requirements, and other police accountability reforms.
So this is a second reading, but we have, we have some amendments that have already been approved. We don't have any further amendments, so we may be able to move immediately to roll call and give Commissioner Saltzman a chance to come back and
should
vote.
We take a,
yeah, so
a 2-minute break.
Let's take a break for a moment and see if he's available. I think he is. Let's just pause for a minute and see. I assume his staff is watching, knows that we're back in action on this.
We could send the sergeant at arms out.
I think he plans and wants to be here.
I was in the legislature once when they actually did that.
Yeah, we don't normally have to. And Commissioner Fritz is out ill today, so unfortunately she can't be here to vote for this. This is not an emergency item, so I don't suppose we have to have him in the room.
They're getting him. He's okay. In his office.
He's coming. Sure. Oh, I'm willing to accept some brief testimony on the amendments. If Dan, if you feel a need to do that, sure. Are there others that would like to testify on the amendments? Okay, so we got a couple people. So let's open that up for some testimony on the amendments that were adopted on 12-18. So just come on up. We didn't have a sign-up sheet, I don't believe, for that. So Dan, come on up. Daryl, come on up. Come on up. We're being a little informal about this, but that's because these amendments came in right before the holidays. So okay, that's okay. She'll do it for you. Go ahead. Yes, that's good. Okay, Daryl.
There's a testimony on the amendments.
This is on the amendments. So.
The amendments only?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Let him go first. Give you a minute to think about that. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I'm happy to let Officer Turner go first if he'd like to.
I'll go first.
All right. While they're being deferential.
Because I'm actually not talking about, I'm talking about process.
Okay.
Hi,
put your name in the record.
I'm Carol Landsman. Mm-hmm. I would like to encourage you to put off voting on any of the amendments until after the judge has the fairness hearing. There are many groups around Portland right now who are working to solicit public comment and opinion, including the NAACP, the AMA, I think ACLU, R2D2, lots of groups. And I would entreat you guys, you're all guys, I would entreat you to hold off until after February 18th. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Yes, Daryl? Yes.
Daryl Turner, Portland Police Association President. I just wanted to reiterate, obviously, the parameters that we agreed to in the DOJ agreement still stand, but anything outside of that, we still have not had any constructive conversation with Constantine Sevier, although I've sat down with him once and talked briefly. We haven't had any constructive conversation about any other changes to the IPR code that are outside of the DOJ agreement that we already agreed to. So we'd like to be able to sit down and do that prior to any vote on any of those other amendments.
Okay. Dan?
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. And just so you know, Reverend Kate Lohr from the AMA Coalition is supposed to be here too. I don't know if she's going to be able to come to testify, but I hope that you'll give her a few minutes if she does appear. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I think council should not vote on the amended version of the IPR and PRB ordinances being considered. I think you should wait until after the fairness hearing. Voting now sends a message that the city joins the DOJ in refusing to hear public testimony about ways the settlement agreement could be strengthened. Before getting to specifics, it's important to clarify what the fairness hearing can accomplish. At a meeting last Friday, City Attorney Ellen Osinash seemed to be verbalizing the city's belief that the fairness hearing will not result in changes to the agreement. However, the AMA Coalition's collaborative agreement lays out changes to the process for picking the COEB. This is an example of invoking paragraph 187, which allows informal changes to be made to the agreement upon a vote of City Council and approval by the judge. Therefore, after the repeated public testimony he's likely to hear about, for instance, the 21-day timeline for the CRC to hold its hearings, the judge could ask the DOJ and the city to negotiate a new site agreement that addresses that issue while still entering the agreement as a whole in the court record. Using that example, one amendment introduced at the last council session directs a report be given to the auditor and police commissioner when an investigation lasts more than 129 days. The intention of this amendment was to preserve the 30-day window complainants currently have to file an appeal of Bureau findings, plus the DOJ required 21-day timeline for the appeal to be held within the overall 180-day timeline for investigations. By enshrining this timeline in the ordinance, council is conceding that the CRC's appeal process should stay within the 180 days and that the 21-day timeline is valid. Commissioner Novick was clear on the record that it's the DOJ refusing to move this timeline. The city should give the community and the judge a chance to change this provision rather than create a city code that could have to be changed again in a few months. Similarly, another amendment to the paragraph about IPR independent investigations clarifies the chief needs to order officers under investigation to both show up and answer questions from IPR. This amendment assumes the scheme drawn up between the October and December council sessions that leaves IPR dependent on the Bureau to conduct investigations satisfies the DOJ's order for IPR to conduct meaningful investigations. As we argued earlier, the meaningful solution to this would be to propose an amendment to the city charter to allow IPR to compel testimony. The city could get such an amendment on the ballot by May if language is ready by early February. Such a charter change would not be a violation of the DOJ agreement, but rather a means to properly fulfill it. The IPR director has stated these changes need to be made right away so as to help as many people as possible. Since many people could have been helped over the last 12 years, if a better system had been instituted in the first place, this is not a good reason to hurry these inadequate changes. Many more people can be helped in the future if council gets this right. I also have concerns about the third amendment about the cumulative report on discipline, which doesn't provide for public reporting by the chief when he disagrees with the police review board, which was the original intention. And we have concerns about the expansion of the CRC to 11 members with a legal quorum of 5, which could allow for a small faction of the committee to make decisions without the knowledge or consent of the majority of the group. So, and that was a piece that nobody really testified out before. We repeat that the intention of the ordinance appears to be to strengthen the professional staff at IPR, but not the CRC, and we really urge you to hold off on the vote. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Thanks. Questions? Thank you. Others that want to testify? Come on up. And then we might want to get...
I think so.
Okay. Levon up after this.
Yeah.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Veronica Bernier from Portland State, Community Health Education, Public Health, and alumni of 2005. And over here.
You get to testify.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, okay. No stranger to the board. Good afternoon, Mayor Charles Hales. It's good to see you. You're looking well. I hope you had a good New Year. I can now say Happy New Year in Chinese. It's Gung Hei Fa Choi. And it is the year of the horse, and I'm happy to see all these nice, pleasant people that did come before us to speak. I'm always encouraged because of that. I'm always also happy to see Commissioner Dan Saltzman here because he's one of my favorites. He always, he can ring the bell for me anytime, but that's just, it's just a figure of speech. We go back a few years, and I do know Commissioner Dan Saltzman has always stepped up to the challenge when it comes to the police. It's very important to continue, as you have been, to continue the 24-hour clock. And also, with the IPR thing, I always remember Mike Hess. I worked with him at Brooks Hall in San Francisco 20 years ago. He was so instrumental in bringing forth IPR issues to the board, and we always supported. If something does happen, heaven forbid, we support that unilaterally. And Commissioner Nick Fish, I know you're all law and order, too. So that's very important. It is also very important, Commissioner Steve Novick, to welcome you to this board process and also let you know that anybody can be arrested at any time in Portland for something silly. But if you are detained by a policeman, you just have to know that sometimes appearances can be deceiving, and sometimes a little old lady like me, while crossing the street and fanning herself with a little white hanky, might look like she's trying to attract a few gentlemen attention, and that may not be true. We might be having a hot flash or something. But I just wanted to let you know that be that as it is made, we still support the mayor's projects unilaterally, and it's important to see those boys in blue out there, even at 1:30 in the morning on a Tuesday night. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Barbara Ross, and I'm testifying for myself as an individual, not on behalf of any organization. And I just wanted to call your attention to Amendment 3 that requires notification if the investigation exceeds 21 days. That's a step in the right direction, but it isn't a solution to the problem that's been brought to your attention many times of the 21 days that it takes to complete the process. The CRC and the IPR have not produced a new process that would fit into this time frame. And it is my hope that the fairness hearing on the DOJ agreement will give us an opportunity to address this problem. For this reason, I believe it's premature for the council to vote on the proposed code changes at this time.
Excuse me.
Another puzzling issue not addressed in the amendments is the matter of the quorum. The membership of the CRC is increased to 11, while the quorum is retained at 5. This raises the troubling possibility that at a meeting with only five members present, three persons could decide a controversial issue for the entire group. Possibly a procedure could be worked out whereby the CRC could delegate a case to a smaller panel, but there's been no clarification about how this might work. At this point, there are more questions than answers. The IPR and the CRC should work together to provide an explanation to the City Council and the public on how this five-person quorum would work before finalizing the code changes. I would urge the Council to postpone any decision on the amendments and the code changes until after the judge holds the fairness hearing. There's no point in changing our city code when it is entirely possible within the next few months the work that has been done will have to be undone. Furthermore, the CRC and the community recommendation should be part of this discussion. Those are important, and they're important and thoughtful improvements coming from them that should be considered. And I thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I wish you good luck as you solve these difficult problems.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim Kahn, and I sent all of you a copy of what I wanted to talk about, and I'm available to talk about it at greater length. My bottom line is that of everybody else here, now is not the time to pass this because it's not ready for prime time. There are many problems. My principal concern, based on the work that I've done, professional work I've done in understanding how independent investigations are conducted, is that the IPR is not an independent body except in name, and that's not good enough. And the amendment does not clarify adequately that they can get all of the information that they should be able to obtain whenever they want, which is a cardinal virtue of any independent body. There is a misunderstanding that seems to be all over the place that the IPR is involved in the police disciplinary process. It is not. There is a difference between fact-finding, which is the proper job of the IPR, and what that means in terms of the discipline of any individual or group of officers. And this is just too confused, and I think we need writing code to clarify that. It also must be separate from the vested interests of the city, such as yourselves and the city auditor. So until we have real independence, it's not time to do this yet. Now, the question is, why now? And the answer is the Department of Justice. There's an opportunity here. So rather than do the absolute minimum that the DOJ demands, we can take a look at the IPR and make it a fully functioning, state-of-the-art body in terms of the investigations that it can do, which is what I'm talking about, and in terms of all the other things that it can be do, and I'll let other people talk to that better than I can. So it's just too early, and that's my testimony.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Are there others?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, Commissioners Becky Strauss here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. The time I want to take today, the point I would like to make today is to ask you for a bit of clarity on your intention, because there have been testimony over the several hearings that there's concern that these changes to the structure that are before you now don't go far enough. That seems to be the prevailing theme, and ACLU certainly agrees. And I think what I'm asking for is some discussion, if you're willing, to think about when the next time that we will come back to make revisions. It's certainly within the realm of
my understanding that after the settlement agreement is approved by the court, there's another opportunity to come back and make changes, certainly in this area and many others, not to mention use of force policies, which by my read, I realize it's not council action, but will need to be changed right away once the settlement agreement is approved. Just a couple other examples that I was looking at, the pending settlement agreement mandates a further discussion about the Garrity issues, which we've had several times privately and publicly. Depending on the outcome of those discussions, I think that there could be a possibility of code change that's needed, as well as further discussion about what IPR's investigatory process looks like. So I think that's what I'm asking for is a little bit more clarity on the attention of council if you choose to approve the amendments here today, what the expectation is going forward.
Becky, can I ask you a question in response to that? Because I feel like we've got competing forces here. On the one hand, we've heard from a lot of people, it's time to move forward and act. And now we're being told, slow down, be more reflective, doesn't go far enough. And that's not atypical in our deliberations. But my sense is we have a sense of urgency about moving forward on things we can agree with. And I guess the question I have for you is, if it turns out, in your view, we haven't gone far enough, or there needs to be further refinements, doesn't our process allow that in the ordinary course? I mean, is there something we're doing here that creates irreparable harm to your view? Or if it falls short of what you would like us to do, can't we at some point continue to make what you view as progress?
Commissioner Fish, I believe that we can. I think that's appropriate that we would continue to make further progress along the way. I would say that I think some of the concern that we're hearing from all stakeholders on many sides is that by nature of approving something, you're codifying not only a system that's been referred to as self-defeating and all sorts of other things, but there is sometimes a fear that an action at one time precludes action anytime in the short term. It's okay, we've dealt with this and we're going to move on. And I don't think that's the approach that council should take. I think we should be ever vigilant as we're watching the implementation of the settlement agreement whenever it is that it gets approved.
Well, and I would say that you are doing a very effective job making sure the record reflects your view on that. And if the record has voices saying that, then I think it's something you can come back to us if there's further changes in the short term or the long term. But, you know, I sometimes think this idea of just not doing something because you want to take it further at some date in the future could also lead to a certain kind of paralysis. And I think there is a benefit in acting and in acting on things that we've discussed and we can agree on. It should never signal that we're done performing. It just says that, you know, we're ready to act on what's before us. So, but I appreciate your point.
Thank you.
I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League urges you to postpone voting on the IPR and Police Review Board code amendments until after the process related to the February 18th fairness hearing has concluded, and you have considered community and CRC recommendations. We believe it's premature to amend code at this time before reviewing the specific concerns regarding certain provisions in the settlement agreement that will be highlighted at the fairness hearing. The amendments under consideration today illustrate the shortcomings in the current proposals. The settlement agreement calls for IPR to conduct meaningful independent investigations. We understand that employment law and the union contract must be followed, but rather than take half measures, council should direct the city attorney's office to develop options for your consideration that would give IPR the authority to conduct truly independent investigations. The public has been asking for this for years, and the DOJ agrees. Although well-intended, Amendment Number 3, requiring notification if an investigation exceeds 129 days, will not solve the problems of a 21-day appeal process. Community organizations such as the League want to give the judge the opportunity to hear our reservations about that timeline before you alter the ordinance to incorporate this provision. In addition to our concerns about the timing of these amendments in relationship to the fairness hearing, The League believes that the CRC's and the community's perspectives need to be taken into account. The Stakeholder Committee report contains a number of recommendations for improvements to the system. Before any action is taken, participants in that effort should be convened and asked to select for your consideration code changes that would be appropriate for adoption at this time. Furthermore, the CRC should be given the opportunity to suggest amendments it believes will improve the oversight system. Unfortunately, it was difficult for the public to be fully involved in such complex issues when the decision-making process took place over the holidays. Council should keep in mind that the settlement agreement envisions the possibility of modifications. Quote, the parties may jointly stipulate to make changes, modifications, and amendments to this agreement, end quote. Rather than acting in haste on the code changes, we urge you first to allow the judicial process to conclude and to consult with the Stakeholder Committee and the CRC. Thank you so much. And thanks for letting us testify, even though you probably hadn't planned on it.
Thank you. And Debbie, thank you for your thoughtful op-ed piece the other day. And I thought it was deplorable that the response to your op-ed piece on the Water District was a personal attack on the League of Women Voters. And it had never occurred to me that you're part of the inside culture at City Hall, but I suppose,
to her too, yeah.
I suppose when you can't respond to the merits of an argument, you have to engage in ad hominem attacks, and I thought that was reprehensible.
Well, thank you,
Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Sylvia Zingaser, NAMI Multnomah. And we would like for you to wait until after the fairness hearing before you make decisions. I know you don't want to do that. You'd like to move ahead. But we'd like to be able to have the ability to talk to the judge, have a testimony, and let it go from there. Let him make his statement. Let him review. And I also want to say that I support Jim Kahn's presentation for quality assurance. We've been working on this a long time on when we had the Crisis Intervention Training Advisory Board. And I'm glad to see it written out, and I hope you will sit down and meet with him. I think it's vital, because I think that we may be able to deal with a lot of the problems that we have and that'll work for everybody on both sides of the fence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Others? I know we want to ask LaVon, or Auditor Griffin-Vallade, and Mr. Sevier, and maybe City Attorney staff to come up at the end, but let's hear from any other citizens that want to speak. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'll try to be quick. I'm Jan Friedman. I'm with Disability Rights Oregon, and I just wanted to make it clear that people with disabilities, as well as citizens in our city, have a right to have an independent and thorough investigation. And if the IPR had great resolve in being able to compel testimony from officers, period, without any interference or any intrusion or interruption from the police bureau or otherwise, they need to be able to do that. Otherwise, we get back to a system of police investigating police. It's not independent, it's not thorough, and it's not fair to the people with mental illness, the people with disabilities in our community. So the amendment that changes that sole right by IPR to compel testimony, totally don't agree with. And I do agree with the memorandum by the National Lawyers Guild, December 6, 2013, explaining how the IPR could compel testimony under the law and that it's not a collective bargaining snafu.
And Jan, if you want us to consider the legal argument that you have at some point as to why you don't think the amendment is needed, could you let us know? Because this is a heavily contested, this has been a subject of great conversation. We're guided by what our attorneys say. You're an attorney, you're going to have an opinion. We're trying to balance a number of rights and make sure that this investigation is meaningful. And if there isn't the authority to ask certain questions, then that in itself is self-defeating. So if you think we're wrong, or our counsel is wrong on the advice we're getting, we'd certainly like to see your analysis.
Okay, thank you. I'll do that.
Great, thanks. Okay, if we could get you to come up, or Mr. Sevier, and maybe City Attorney staff for questions, and follow-up by council members? Who's on first?
Well, I had a couple of questions, Mayor. First, I guess, the two arguments we've heard again today, and this, we've had extensive hearings and discussions on this, are number one, you don't go far enough, and number two, what's the rush? Let's wait for the court to hold its hearing. Can you just give us, just very succinctly again, your position on both?
Well, this is a process that our office started November of 2012, right at the end of the DOJ settlement agreement negotiation process. The code that we will have once council approves approves the proposal will put Portland in a place that I think we would compare very favorably to other cities across the country. There will be increased reporting requirements. The CRC will be able to be on the police review board as rotating members. There will be increased transparency. There will be increased consistency into the decision-making process and what the city does in a disciplined process. IPR's role in these cases is to be an investigator, a fact gatherer, and then to monitor the investigation. We're not fact finders. We're not the disciplinary process, and this is a process that council has wished that we pursue. We get in a place of having extensive conversations like we've been having, and I think it's important that we have those conversations, but we can't stop the important work that we're trying to do. We have complainants who come to our office every day putting their faith in the city that it's going to provide its oversight agency with the resources and the mechanism to do the investigations that it needs to. We need these code proposals for us to be able to do our job. If we have to do an independent investigation today, I think that independent investigation will not be as strong as the independent investigation that will be under this proposed code. The ability for IPR to talk directly to officers, as it listed out in this code, is one, it's clear, it's transparent, and it's easily understandable to all people who would look at it. And also, if it is something that a union member who ends up being disciplined under an IPR investigation and they decide to grieve it and take it to an arbitrator, I think it would withstand legal scrutiny. And I think that's the most important thing about whatever we do, that not only that we have a process that makes people feel good, but that when it is under some sort of legal scrutiny by outside parties, that it withstands that scrutiny.
I guess, and the second question is, we've been asked to wait 6 weeks or potentially longer to the conclusion of another process. You've asked us to take this up now. We've had a full hearing of these issues. Would you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I mean, at this point, this is the third hearing that we've had on these code changes. The process that Judge Simon is undertaking for the fairness hearing on the DOJ agreement, I think that's an important process. And if there are things that come out of that, you know, the city can adjust and do what it needs to. But the proposition that we do nothing at this point, I don't think that's a tenable position for us as a city. We have a responsibility to the 590,000 people that live in this city for us to do our responsibilities as a government. And for us to delay at this point, when we've had extensive conversations with numerous members of the community, with respective unions for months at this point, for us just to delay for the fairness hearing. And at the fairness hearing, that's just the opportunity for the judge to hear what the community has to say on that. There's not going to be a decision at the fairness hearing on February 18th. So that possibly would put us into March, if not April, when the judge would make some sort of decision on that. So what I've heard from some members of the community is that we're going to wait another 4 months for something. And I just, you know, my ultimate responsibility is to the community members that come and file complaints with our office, the 12 people who work very hard at IPR day in, day out trying to make sure that community members have an opportunity to address their grievances to the city, and for the police officers that there is a fair process that is transparent and is actually written down. The way the code is written in particular for us to be able to talk to officers right now, it's a very convoluted process, and I don't think it's tenable for us to continue under that particular code provision.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other questions for either Mr. Sevier or City Attorney Staff? Okay, roll call then.
Fish?
We've had extensive discussion on these proposed reforms. They've been good conversations. I think I've heard loud and clear from members of the community we're not going far enough. They've made a record on that point. I think, also heard issues about the hearing the judge is going to hold and a plea that we remain flexible. If something comes out of that, I think the record's been made, and we've heard that as well. Dr. Bethel, in his letter, said that if the council passes these changes today, we need to remain open to future changes. I think you've heard a commitment from all the parties that is the case. So I thank everyone for their considerable time and energy in getting us to this place. I think these are important reforms, and clearly not the last time we'll be taking these issues up, and there are more reforms to come. But I believe there's a sense of urgency of moving at least these reforms forward. I'm grateful to the auditor and her team for all the work that she's put into it and the consultation with our offices and mayor. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I too think this is remains a work in progress, as has how many hearings we've had on this now? Four, I think. So I'm sure this isn't the last time the council visits the issue of independent police review, but I do believe waiting for a fairness hearing is sort of a false goalpost. I think, as Constantine just said, it's nothing more than a hearing, and we'll be waiting further for the judge to opine. So I think it's time. I think these are good changes. Time to move ahead, move the ball down the field. Aye.
Novick.
I agree with what my colleagues have just said. I appreciate everybody's attention to this issue. And also, I have to say that if somehow at the fairness hearing the folks here can convince Judge Simon to throw out the ridiculous 21-day deadline for the CRC to complete appeals, then more power to you. I'd applaud that. But I do think that these are important reforms we're considering today, and I don't see a compelling argument to delay them. Aye.
Hales.
At one level, I've been a little puzzled by this parts of this debate in which people have urged us to hold off and wait for the fairness hearing, or even puzzled by other parts of this debate where we've gotten very focused on individual provisions. Of course, the details matter. But I think that puzzlement in my mind has been partially lifted both by time and by discussion, and actually by a couple of particular discussions here. One, the points that Mr. Sevier just made, and two, the discussion with Becky Strauss. How do you change big organizations and how they operate? You establish clearly where you want to go. You articulate that from a leadership level, and then you make steady incremental change, and you have oversight to make sure that you're getting where you want to go. That's what we're about here. I'm the police commissioner. I have made it clear, and I will continue to make it clear, that I expect the relationship of the Portland Police Bureau to the citizens of this community to be one of trust and mutual respect, respect for the law, respect for human rights, de-escalation at every opportunity, and humane treatment of people in all walks of life in all conditions. And that's exactly, of course, what the subject of the federal discussion has been as well. But I believe in those values that we all share, and I think the people in the police bureau do as well, and we're making it clear that that's where we're going. That's part of my job. Part of my job then is to make sure that we look for every way in the bureau, whether it's training or who we hire or how we reward people by promotion, not just how we affect them by discipline, for expressing those values and how the Bureau operates. And again, that's part of our job as a city and my job as the commissioner in charge. I don't think you can prescribe an outcome entirely in code. And after all, the code that we're talking about here is the code for backward-looking review, as important as that might be, for how a review body operates and how staff who work for the auditor conduct themselves in carrying out that work. I expect we will find that there are unexpected side effects of some of this code. Let me just give you an example. This is just a what if. This might happen. The public records, the public reports section includes a requirement which has been controversial in the police bureau that the final decision of the chief or the commissioner in charge be made public. It might be the case that the way in which that information is released could cause someone in the news media to file public records requests that ask for individual discipline letters about police officers, which would then cause the union to grieve that issue and we'd go off the rails. I hope that doesn't happen. But ironically, while we're having this discussion today, the chief is in an arbitration hearing where we're trying to make discipline decisions that he made in the past stick. I don't know how we'll do it. We'll find out. My point is, I'm not being flippant at all, my point is that this will all get tested in real time on real cases, and some of it will work as we've hoped, and some of it won't. And I'm perfectly okay with revisiting any section of city code, whether it's the code that governs independent police review or parking lots for apartments, when we find out that things don't work out in practice like we think in the esoteric discussions that we have in this room, that they will work out in theory. So not only is it, I think, not particularly helpful to wait in for the fairness hearing, but it's perfectly reasonable that this city council should revisit an important function of the city to see how it's working and to adjust it over time. And whether we like talking about IPR rules or not, I expect we'll be back because of that reality, that this is a complex, litigious set of issues where people are going to probe and push at every line of this code, and we'll find out. We've got great city attorneys. We've got great staff in the auditor's office who've worked hard on this, but we'll find out how it works, you know, in practice. Finally, as I think all of you know, I welcomed the request that Commissioner Saltzman make that the federal government look at our practices. I support the proposed settlement agreement, but I also think it's our job to enact our code. Yes, we're doing so with federal oversight, but this is the city of Portland's code. It's our job, and we're responsible for adopting this code, and the buck stops with us. So I don't want to give anyone the impression, frankly, by waiting for the fairness hearing, that we're ceding our responsibility to the federal government. I'm not willing to do that. It's our job to do this. And if we have to do it again sometime soon because part of this didn't work out in practice, we'll be ready. Thank you. Aye. And we are recessed until tomorrow at 2 p.m.